Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Bank of India Q4 FY22 conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us today Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO, Shri P.R. Rajagopal, Executive Director, Shri Swaroop Dasgupta, Executive Director, Shri M. Karthikeyan, Executive Director, Ms. Monika Kalia, Executive Director, and other top management team from Bank of India. I now hand the conference over to Shri A.K. Das, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, all members of our analysts, investors, and ladies and gentlemen. I extend a very warm welcome to each one of you for today's interaction, and let me share with you the financial results of the bank for Q4 as well as full year of financial year of 2021-22. As you all are aware, we are all passing through a critical and challenging time, and just when the recovery to growth path was making a modest beginning, the Russia-Ukraine war made a complete world shift, and the entire globe is now grappling with a situation of supply shock, inflation, and consequential monetary tightening measures by the central banks. IMF, in its latest World Economic Report, has made a downward revision of earlier projections and put global output growth rate at 3.6% for both the years 2022 and 2023. The emerging markets and developing economies, however, are expected to grow at a better rate, 3.8% in 2022 and 4.4% in 2023. Back home, the GDP growth rate for FY22 has been estimated at 8.9% by NSSO, and for FY22-23, the growth rate is projected at 7.2% by the Reserve Bank of India. On the positive side, waning of pandemic situation, growing vaccination coverage, pickup in contact intensive services, and thrust on infra facility and expenditure by the government is expected to spur higher growth. The banking industry during 21-22 witnessed a comparatively lower deposit growth of 8.9% and a higher advances growth of 9.6%, which exhibits regaining of consumer confidence and traction in business activity, which we expect to continue during the current year also. Against this backdrop, the bank pursued a few strategic initiatives during FY21 and 22. One of them being reorientation of business strategy with thrust on advances growth rather than deposit growth. Secondly, continuous emphasis has been laid on outreach campaigns, not only for business growth but also for building bonds with the customer. The slippage and NPA management always remained high on the bank's agenda, with measures for improving collection efficiency and NPA recovery. For enhancing operational efficiency, two more NBGs, that is National Banking Groups, and nine new zones were carved out, which was operationalized from April 1st this year. On technology front, the bank migrated to Finacle 10 and other digitization platforms like Data Lake, platform projects were initiated. With these measures, a road has been paved towards sustained growth path. I'm happy to announce that the bank's net profit for Q4 jumped by 142% to 606 crore, and for the full year, the bank posted a net profit of 3,404 crore, registering an increase of 57.6%. There has been improvement in NIM, which moved up from 2.01% in Q4 of FY21 to 2.58% in Q4 of FY22. Domestic NIM also improved from 2.16% to 2.90%. Asset quality further improved with reduction in gross NPA, both amount-wise and percentage-wise. The gross NPA ratio was brought down to below 10% and net NPA below 2.5%. Slippage ratio for Q4 was restricted to 0.44%, and for the entire year it was brought down from 2.41% to 2.15%. Similarly, credit costs improved from 1.8% in FY21 to 0.75% in FY22. During FY22, the bank expanded its credit growth to 11.35%, with increase in RAM advances by 15.70%. During current year, with onboarding of e-platform and end-to-end digitalization in credit sourcing, processing, and delivery, there will be significant jump in credit offtake. We expect credit growth of 10 to 12% in the current year. For augmenting yield on advances and NIM, the bank is aligning its asset growth to high-yielding areas. With the bank's continuous drive for managing asset quality, we expect gross NPA ratio to be contained below 8% and credit cost at less than 1% by the end of the current financial year. We aim to realize a NIM of around 3% by March 23. This is in a nutshell the numbers. I believe the data and other things have been already shared with you. I would once again thank you all for the continued support. And now let the floor be open for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Ascon Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Mr. Raj Gopal, Das Gupta ji, Kartikeyan ji, Monika ji. First of all, yes, of course, congratulations for showing the good, for reflecting good operating profit at least. Though the provisioning is higher and the net profit is under pressure. But overall, what is important is that your operating profit is increasing, which is good. Even the advances, the global advances and the local domestic advances are also growing up well. Having said, sir, a few observations and some questions. First of all, I saw a figure in the note number 33 of, RBI penalty. I mean, that's a heavy amount of penalty of 4.27 crores for domestic, I mean, by RBI and 16.54 crores and 0.25 crores by the overseas regulators. Can I know that why such hefty penalties have been imposed on the bank and what action the bank has taken for that, sir?
There is one overseas penalty, as you rightly mentioned, and one RBI penalty for two, three compliance issues. We have paid the penalty. We were also given a chance to defend ourselves. Certain issues which RBI flagged have already been corrected, but, the role of the regulator, is to enforce the penalty and all. So it's a learning for us, a deterrent for future, circumspection. So that way, I think we have corrected. Basically, in the overseas centers, it was AML KYC related 5 to 6 years, just this much only I can share, 5 to 6 years time period they reviewed and they found certain anomalies there. And overseas regulators, as they're known for, they are, very, very strong in enforcing the penalty and all. Similarly, in the domestic arena, there were two, three issues like delayed reporting of fraud in one or two cases and few other cases. But we have taken due care that such violations don't arise in future.
Okay, sir. Point well taken, sir, because this was little extraordinary, exceptionally high amount. That is high. And on the penalty on a bank, it really sent the alarm bells. Sir, on the advances side in the RAM, there is an increase of almost about, 1,000 crore in the personal loan book in this quarter. So, can I know what kind of this? They are all salaried loans or there is a tremendous growth in this particular portfolio. So, is there any change in the policy or because of digitalization it is or what is it, sir?
Yeah, Rajgopal ji, would you like to respond?
Yeah, Ajmera ji, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I am fine, sir.
Yeah, this personal loan, basically, we had a very liberal personal loan scheme that we have actually put in place during the COVID time, which continued in 2020-21 also and 2021-22 also. There was a lot of demand for personal loans because most of these loans are consumption loans. Now, the another question that you asked is whether it is salaried or non-salaried. It is a mixture of both. It is not salaried alone. It is a mixture of both. And there are some small-time business loans also people have taken to augment their capital. So it's a very small loan segment and has grown very aggressively because of the demand for personal loans than any other loan. It has, if you see our balance sheet and the balance sheet of others also, you will find out that most of the banks have grown personal segment very aggressively because of the demand in the market basically.
What is the average duration of this loan, sir? Average repayment duration?
This is 1 to 3 year loan mostly. 1 to 3 year loan. All are demand loans. So, mostly 1 to 2 years.
Also, the growth looks very pronounced because of the low base.
Yeah.
It's hardly 3% of our entire retail portfolio.
No, no, that is there. I mean, overall, in absolute terms, the amount has increased tremendously. So, it's good. I mean, if it is within the control and the recoveries are good and the period is only 2-3 years, I think it's a good segment. Sir, coming to the treasury, you have, because of the pressure now coming in, the interest rates are hardening up. Our treasury income has gone down in this quarter. And there is also a loss of about 111 crore on the investment. So what is our going forward? Because we have a good sizable AFS book also. What is the views of the treasury people in our bank? We are cushioned up to how much more? Because even RBI governor also has given the indication that there is hardening of the interest going to be, and they didn't want to give the shock. That is why they came in the interim policy suddenly. So, what are our views? Sir, we have got 38,000 crore of AFS book as on 31st March. Whether some profit has already been realized in the month of April or we are still holding on, sitting on.
Shashi? Yeah. Good evening, Advaraji. This is Shashidharan, GM Treasury. See, your question is with respect to the HTM portfolio and how it is going to behave going forward when the yields are moving up. I would like to submit two things. One is the SLR securities with M duration of 0.47. My portfolio is only 26,336 crores. And the portfolio of 26,336, 0.47 is the duration. It's a very small number if you look into it. That translates to around 10% of the total 10%. If there is a 10 basis points increase, the total increase for both the portfolios put together would be around 40 crores. I have a reason to say this because the non-SLR investment, which is shown as 12,169, comprises of some equity and other other securities also. The actual amount would be around 6,800 crores. It is in the NCD form. So 3.62 for that and 26,336 as far as M duration 0.47. We are expecting around 40 crores of depreciation for a 10 basis points movement. And we are at around 740, 745 level. Probably another 30 or 40 basis points can move as far as the 10-year security is concerned. That is one thing, sir. The other thing is that the government security is 26,336. Most of it is in FRBs also. Last year, the FRBs behaved in a very weird way. Normally, when the interest rate moves up, the FRBs should act as a hedge, but unfortunately, that has not happened. We hope that with the clarity emerging out of the policy action, we are sure that there will be demand for FRBs and the flavor of the season would be FRBs. So, overall, we don't think we will have a big challenge to face as far as the portfolio is concerned. And we do have a huge HTM portfolio available for us for further purchases, and that can be accommodated in the HTM portfolio. We are close to around 18.61% as far as the HTM portfolio is concerned, and with the current increase of 1%, we still have close to about 4.5 to 5% is the available room in HTM. So I think, sir, we should be comfortably placed. I hope I have answered your queries properly.
Yeah, sure. Definitely, sir. You have answered my queries and you have given some kind of confidence also that up to 30-40 basis point, I think we can absorb the shock. I hope that it should not go beyond that, because overall the target should be not more than 100 basis point out of that 40 is already announced. So anyway, sir, coming to the recovery side, of course our slippages are under control, cash recovery is also good, and there is upgradation also. But coming to recovery in some of the large accounts and especially these two, three accounts which have been talked about, what is actually the provisioning on those accounts and also the chances of the recovery along with the scope for recovery now in the NCLT, whether it is speeded up now or still the same story what was there last year?
Mr. Ashokji, the two large accounts which you are mentioning is 100% provided in terms of future. And in terms of the other accounts, say, which is already admitted to NCLT, the provision coverage rate is around 35%. So, 50% now, against the norm of 35%. So, that is one thing. And you can see the cash recovery is also, last year we have increased the cash recovery by an extent of 60%. That's the all-time high of 6,707 crores. There's good recovery is happening in the system, and the engagement with the customers is being aggressively followed up. Various channels have been used. And so, the going forward also, we are planning for reduction of 3,000 crores per quarter. That's our way forward. Mr. Anand, you would like to speak?
The process has filled up in the NCLT. So, all the members' posts have been filled up now, as such, there are no vacancies. So, in this year, we hope a better recovery through NCLT.
Sir, you said 50% provision is made. What is in the absolute number would be the remaining 50% or the overall amount?
In terms of trade, it is 963 our exposure, of 50% is already being made.
And the other one?
Other one is 100%. No? So,
1,000%. Alright, sir. Sir, coming only last question in this round.
So, due to this, you kindly come in the queue for the follow-up questions.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Suraj Das from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
And congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, continuing with the previous question, so on the future group, have it been fully recognized or there are, yet some accounts which has to be returned as NPA?
So, we are having, I am Anand here in successor vertical, we are having exposure in three of the group accounts, out of which two have already been marked as NPA and we have made full provision. The third account has not been marked as NPA because as on 2023 there was no financial default in that account.
Okay. What would be the exposure on that account, sir?
Around 386 crores.
Okay. Okay, understood, sir. Are any provisions here? As of now?
In this account also, as per OTR, we have done that provision requirement of 10%, which is mandatory as per the RFCR one. That is maintained.
Okay, understood, sir. Now, sir, my first question is on the restructuring side. So that you have given on the slide number 27, the restructuring number. So this number, does it include, total restructuring number, including COVID 1.0, 2.1, also the earlier MSME, CDR, LCR and all the schemes, or do you have to add also the GST MSME number which you have given in the footnotes?
Yeah, it includes all the numbers, the RFCRS 1, RFCRS 2 and all the other restructuring which the bank has kept in force. So total number is 16,880 crores. Which are standard.
Okay, understood, sir. And sir, on this restructured book, you have provided provision of 1,140 crores, something around that. So yeah, this looks optically low, something around 7-8% coverage only.
Okay. Why is that? We look at the SME portfolio of this, it's coming to around 8-9% only. Among the restructured assets, the SME percentage is 9 one, and estimate two is around 10%. So that's how these numbers are added.
Okay, okay, understood, sir. Now, sir, coming to the ECLGS, the ECLGS disbursement seems to have increased, I mean, drastically from something around 5,500 crore to something around 8,000 crore on a QOQ basis. So I just want to ask, sir, what is the outlook here, and I mean, what is the NPA levels in this ECLGS book?
ECLGS book NPA numbers you have? It's about 6,000 crore, if I remember correctly. Okay. All series put together. Any idea what is the NPA?
Yes, that number has to be separately given.
We will share with you the NPA numbers out of ECLGS.
Okay, sir, that is okay, sir. And the number which you have given on slide number 42, that is 7,997 crore, is it the disbursed amount or is it the outstanding ECLGS amount?
Both are same.
Okay. Understood. And sir, coming on to the business side, so sir, can you give a breakup of your loan book by, you know, how much of the loan book would be EBLR link, how much of the loan book would be MCLR link, or let's say fixed rate loan?
Yeah. See, broad segments only I will share with you. In MCLR 1 year, overall we got about 75% of our loan book linked to MCLR 1 year. Now when it comes to EBLR, out of retail advances, 47.18% are EBLR linked. And within SME, that number is 57.53%. In corporate advances, about 33% are linked to EBLR.
Okay. And what will be the total loans which will be linked to fixed rate out of total loans?
Anybody has got that number?
Put up what?
Total number, the loan out of loan book amount which is linked to fixed rate.
41,600
crore.
Okay, sir. Okay, thank you so much. The last couple of questions from my side. Sir, one is on the names and yield side. So yield on funds seems to have increased from 5.24 to 5.40, while the yield on advances has decreased from 7% to something around 6.7-6.8%. So, sir, if you can throw some light here, why the yield on advances has decreased while the yield on funds has increased?
In deployment, other than loans, we have got, as our CFO was saying, plus we have got TLTRO and other things also are part there, isn't it? So that is probably why the yield on funds is showing little, but these are dynamic numbers, Suraj. I think the core part is, our yield on advances, which we are trying to improve our NIM. And through volume growth, more volume growth, we are trying to improve it.
And then because of investment, the denominator is high. That's a little
issue. Okay. But the reason why I was asking is that because if I see your income on investment and interest on, RBI and other balance and all that thing, so that number QOQ is broadly stable, while the total investment has also increased on a QOQ basis. So, that should be, roughly the yield on, non-advances should be roughly either similar or some downward pressure. But here in the slide, it is showing that the yield on funds has increased. So, that is why actually I was asking that question.
Okay. We'll get back to you on that.
Sure. Sure, sir. And so my last
Mr. Das, I would request you to kindly come for your follow-up questions back in the queue.
Yes, sure, sir.
We have the next question from the line of Krishna from Wipro. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. I'm here to ask you that what has Bank of India did to secure the assets of Future Group because it is just proceeding the company for insolvency. Without securing first the assets of Future Group.
Future Group, see, already you know we have filed an NCLT application. Along with that, an interim application has been filed at least to prevent the further alienation of assets. So whatever has already been alienated, that we will be taking a call after the case gets admitted. So for the time being, we have filed another interim application along with the main application to prevent the further transfer of stock.
No, sir. First, you had to secure the assets of Future Group. Then you have to proceed for NCLT proceedings.
Security in the sense, you know, the security always is available with that. Anybody taking over the assets should be taking over subject to the rights of the bank only. So definitely we will have a remedy through the NCLT. Anybody taking over, it will be subject to the bank's rights. That we will be taking a call through NCLT. It is not that they are getting an absolute title over the assets.
Sir, as you are the secure creditors of Future Group, then without your permission, how did Reliance manage to take away the assets of Future Group?
That we cannot comment here. That is some sort of bilateral contract between Future and Retail. I don't think we can comment on it at this point of time. For the time being, we can think of protecting the lender's interest, which I have told what steps we will be taking.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question on the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity.
Good evening and congratulations to the management and team of
Mr. Choksi, would you please kindly come a little closer to the mic? Your voice is not audible much.
Sir, congratulations to the team Bank of India for the stable and good result. Sir, my first question is your guidance on growth on retail and corporate banks. Guidance on NIM, CASA, and guidance on treasury book.
Okay, thank you very much for your compliment. I think you missed out my initial remarks.
No, I heard on the NIM, sir, but general guidance.
Yeah, general guidance is a credit growth of 10-12% with more focus on corporate segment and MSME. Because agri and retail, they are steady at over 18% there. And NIM, it is about 3% that we are. Our domestic NIM is 2.90 Q4 standalone. So we are envisaging to take it to about 3% by March 23. Guidance on asset quality. We had said last time, our basic aim was to bring it down gross NPA ratio below 10%. We have been successful in doing that, 9.98%. By the end of this financial year, we expect GNPA ratio to be brought down below 8%. For that, we have our recovery and other slippage management strategies. We will further improve on the slippage management, which has been a forte for us during the last 4-5 quarters. We are also aiming at about 12,000 crore reduction in NPA, partly through NCLT resolution, which could lead to a reduction of about 4,600 crore, partly through NARCL transfer of about 2,500 crore, and of course the rest through normal recovery process. So with this, I think we will be able to improve our NIM, we will be able to improve our operative efficiency, and also to further strengthen our strong liability franchise. 45% and above CASA is a good number, probably one of industry's best, only behind one or two other peer banks. But we'd like to have it, you know, stabilized even at a higher level. So all this taken together, I think it should be a good year for us, current financial year.
Sir, can you possibly have a data point that when we reach 45% of CASA, what percentage of these customers are also there on asset as well as liability both sides?
That we need to work out. If I request you, can you please to our department, if you can write a mail on that, I'm sure our people will be able to
do that. Sir, now looking at...
And one more thing I missed out, our retail deposits. So our basic intent also was to reduce the bulk deposit. So now we have been able to reduce our bulk deposit percentage to 11%. It was earlier 16% at the beginning of the year. Now it has come down to 11%. That is also another cost-saving measure we have taken.
And these deposits are more from tier 1 cities or they are from non-metros and smaller towns too?
You are asking such questions as if we have done a simulation and come here. So kindly add this to your other question also. So I will ask the department, definitely they will give you the feed on that.
Sustainable numbers and some banks are replying, so I just asked, sir. If it
okay. We will give that number. You will give that number.
Sir, are you seeing, based on your CASA at 45%, your penetration on home loan, vehicle loan and mortgage loan where you have done well, are you likely to increase your percentage of growth higher there than where you stand?
Yes, very much. Cross-selling, upselling is our major objective. Now, after the mid of the year, when we have the digital platform in place, we already built up a roadmap for effective marketing of those loans, where right from lead stage to dispersal stage also, we will give, through an universal application, we will provide these loans. I am sure that will bring us a lot of benefits, especially in the retail space.
So this personal loans, are what percentage will be secured and what would be unsecured?
Most of it
is
unsecured. But doing well, there is no cause for any concern.
In fact, personal loans are doing better than secured loans. That's
absolutely market. Yes.
The data mining companies are indicating that.
Okay.
Mr. Choksi, would you should kindly come in the queue for follow-up questions?
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Abhijit Kumar from Share Giant Wealth Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. Sir, my question was what is the BaaS strategy? You have a big exposure which you have provided this quarter for future growth. So, recently the deal was rejected by the creditors of committee. So, what is your alternative strategy to recover the dues because the total exposure of banks is large and already the assets have been taken by Reliance? So, how do you feel or are you comfortable of recovering the amount if you can throw some light on it?
I'm Arun here. The case is likely to be admitted anytime by the NCLT. One thing is such way that, we will get a resolution plan through the NCLT. So depending on now, I think it is slightly early to comment upon it. But it all depends on the EOIs which we are receiving and the plans which we are receiving. Thereafter, the COC will be taking a call on it. Since the case is going to admission stage, it is slightly early to comment upon the chance of recovery that account at this point of time.
But however, as most of the stores have already been taken by Reliance, and whatever stores are remaining, that are also getting closed. So, if there is no stores remaining, so what is the chances of recovering an NCLT? That is really worrying. How all this happened exactly when that got created? If you can,
whatever we could do our best, we have done that. We have fully provided so that our balance sheet is effectively cushioned from that. And for recovery part, I think everything is not in our hands. We hope that this NCLT decision brings us. So we are completely dependent on that. And after all, like Mr. Anand told, we will take a decision after the NCLT verdict comes in.
So any chance of taking the stores back, which have been taken over?
See, actually, whatever charges will be stopped and be available, stops in that shop. So definitely, legal steps will be taken for retrieving that.
Okay, so stores you may not be able to take, but at least the inventory valuation you can bring back from the Reliance project. Okay, so thanks a lot for your clarity.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Chitesh Mehta from Activist. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you throw some light on upcoming your QIP? Means how much will be its size and amount?
We are just about done with our March results, so we are yet to hear. We just got an in-principle approval from the board, and we will take a call after Q1.
Okay.
Right now, we don't need that urgently capital augmentation.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sumukha J from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
My question was already answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashutosh Mishra from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, I have two questions. The first is, what is our return of book at this point of time? And what type of recovery do you see coming from that book?
Second question.
What kind of recovery you are seeing?
Kartikeyanji?
In terms of return of account last year, totally 10,324 was the return of amount, and cash recoveries in return of accounts was 1,035 crores. And yeah, that is a good traction, because see, what we have concentrated now on all those doubtful one and loss assets has been very meticulously being followed up. And last quarter also, you could have seen a recovery of 354 crores in those assets, which has been continuously on the increasing trend. So, well, the economy is being improved and the situation is good, slightly improving. So, we are getting good traction and good recoveries on those segments, which will definitely drive our provisions as well as increase our P&L.
You would have seen in the financial year comparison FY21 and 22, our recovery from the return of accounts has almost, it has more than doubled from 500 odd to 1000 odd there. And that has partially compensated our loss in treasury. So I think
Do you expect this trend to continue, this 1000 crore type of recovery in FY23?
Yes, we do.
Second question, sir, security receipts. So, what is the quantum of security receipts we have, and what type of provision we are holding on that?
Nothing
is provided.
How much? 2,500? Just a minute, please. And what is the provision on that?
Around 92%.
Okay.
And sir, by when we will be seeing this NARCL transfer taking place?
NARCL, actually, some of the accounts which have been identified, they also appointed some consultants for collecting due diligence and all. Thereafter, the reserve situation happened, and we will be taking further course of action for transfer of accounts by taking approval from the appropriate authority. At least by this Q1, we are expecting transfer of some accounts. Even though not all accounts are getting transferred, the process should start by this quarter.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is our plan to bring down government holding to 75%?
We have got in principle approval from the board for raising up another 2,500 crores this financial year. The modus operandi and details will be worked out after the Q1. So if we are able to do that, we will be able to bring down the government stake below 75%.
My suggestion is, I don't know if any public sector bank has explored or not, can we convert that additional liquidity to bring down 75% into a preference share or Tier 1 capital bonds or whatever, whereby we don't destroy our book value? Because after our last QIP, the market price has tanked. I'm not saying the market conditions have not changed, but looking at the performance, that would be more enabler rather than destructive of price.
Yes, bonds will not be able to reduce the government stake.
Bonds may be a preferential share.
Preferential we cannot book because it's a government company. But definitely we have to go for QIP or FPO or preferential
ISO. I think you have not understood my question. I am saying convert the equity shares into preference shares or tier 1 bonds whereby government will have a 8% or 7% yield on the instrument and the shares are converted at a SEBI risk formula whereby your equity reduction happens.
Hello to Sushil ji, Sophie
sir. The banking company preparation
has 70%. Sophie sir.
Bolia sir.
Yeah, kya hai na, this is a good suggestion. We'll try to look at it. No, we'll have to examine, exactly look at whether it is possible or not. Because nobody has done that in the market as of now, as far as I know. Dekhte hain, is it a better proposition or not, we'll evaluate it also.
I will share some data on that. We will discuss. Yeah,
yeah, please do.
Second thing, sir, on the growth pattern, I expect that you won't have an answer. The corporate credit growth, how much would be public sector and how much would be private sector in the last 12 months?
You want bifurcation between public sector and private sector.
As on date, if you see, you know
the portfolio very well. Nobody need to tell you about the portfolio of Bank of India. 80% is NBFC plus government and public sector put together in the overall corporate book. So naturally, the demand pickup happens. See, today what is happening is the last one or two years, there is no incremental capital formation and the private capex is not actually picked up in the last 1 or 2 years. Most of them are conserving cash, including big companies. Now we'll see exactly how it pans out because a lot of mergers and acquisition consolidation in the commodity sector still continues to happen. And manufacturing is to completely pick up. The only services sector, there is a demand but not in the big spend services sector. It is only again retail and MSME, some demand is visible. So in these circumstances, you know, private sector, corporate book to grow, it will only grow modestly insofar as our overall portfolio, the proportion of the overall corporate portfolio that we have. We don't see a great growth in corporate book. Of course, whatever is the existing relationship we have good relationships. You are all aware of what the corporate relationship we have. So wherever there is an additional requirement for investment, wherever there is a brownfield expansion that happens, we'll continue to take that exposure. So that's what the idea is in so far as our strategy for growing the corporate.
Historically, bank enjoys a very good reputation in business. My last question, we are talking about digitization and digital platform. What kind of capex and what kind of products will be able to do it? Or it will be only digital for retail?
No, it is not like digital. See, I'll tell you, we have actually over a period of 5 years, our capex for the entire IT is around 5,000 crores. Okay. Now, the major thing that we have actually planned for the next 18 months, coming 18 months is around 1,000 crores plus. So, where we will have all the entire utility platform in place. It is not retail alone, it will be both liability assets as well as it will include the entire gamut of asset side. So including trade finance, supply chain, corporate book, everything will be there as part of the digital. Because it is inevitable. I cannot do anything without digitization. So it has to be done.
No problem, sir. Congratulations and all the best for the current year to the entire team of Bank of India.
Thank you.
Later, I will take the questions offline with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhavik Shah from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So, congrats on good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted three data keeping questions. First, sir, what would be the LCR ratio as on fiscal 22?
LCR,
112.
Okay. Sir, what would be the yield on investment this quarter compared to last quarter?
Yield on investment, sir. 6.57 compared to last quarter?
Around 7.
6.57 is the Q4 number.
6.9 last year.
And it was 6.9 was the corresponding number.
6.75 this quarter versus 6.9 last quarter.
Yeah. Last quarter, no. Year on year basis you're talking, huh?
Last quarter
it remains same, not much difference is there.
Sir, why have we seen a very 15 basis point increase in yield on funds quarter on quarter?
Yield on fund 16 basis rise on quarter on quarter. See, what happens is, if you see, normally what happens, the HTM securities that are shifted, there will be a lot of churning that happens at the AFS level. If you see the AFS portfolio, you'll understand. The AFS portfolio quarter on quarter basis, it has come down. So there is a lot of churning that has happened in the AFS portfolio. So naturally, the yield will go up there.
Okay. Understood, sir. And sir, how is the restructuring book performing with respect to collection efficiency across retail and SME segment?
The collection efficiency is very good. As of now, if you see the restructuring book that we have, around 15,000 crores is the restructuring book. Not much as segmenting, around 1.5% is the slippages over there, both in the MSME as well as the overall restructuring book. If you see the MSME restructuring book, taking September 21 as the cutoff date for implementation timeline as per the RBI guidelines, the last 6 months slippages is worked out, it is less than 1%.
Oh, okay, sir. So that is from my side. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
We have the next person on the line of Suman from SS Tours and Travels. Please go ahead.
My question is regarding the future details. Secure creditor has voting against. तो बैंक इज कॉन्फिडेंट कि हम जो वहां से रिकवर कर सकते उससे ज्यादा रिकवर एनसीएलटी के थ्रू कर पाएंगे, क्योंकि 4 लाख शेयर होल्डर है रिटेल शेयर होल्डर, और सब लोग यही सोच रहे हैं कि बैंक ऑफ इंडिया ने लीड लिया इसको, एनसीएलटी तक ले गए हैं और वो ले गए, तो फिर इसके बारे में जानना चाहते सर।
नहीं, एक्चुअली क्या है, तो आप देखोगे तो पहले वाला जो सेटलमेंट उन्होंने ऑफर किया था, तो उसमें क्या हुआ, बाहर वाले बॉन्ड होल्डर्स और अनसिक्योर्ड क्रेडिटर्स को ज्यादा शेयर दिया गया उसके स्कीम के अंदर, और सिक्योर्ड क्रेडिटर्स को जो दिया गया है वो कम शेयर है, ठीक है, वो अनफेवरेबल था सिक्योर्ड क्रेडिटर्स के लिए। अपार्ट फ्रॉम दैट, आप जो बोल रहे हो रिटेल शेयर होल्डर्स के लिए भी थोड़ा नुकसानदायक था वो पूरा स्कीम, इसके वजह से वो टुकड़ा गया था। और अभी एनसीएलटी में क्या है, ज्यादा कॉम्पिटिशन होगा, 2-3 लोग आएंगे, उसका ब्रांड वैल्यू भी है, ऐसा नहीं है सिर्फ स्टोर का ही वैल्यू रहता है, सिक्योरिटी का ही वैल्यू रहता है, पूरा ब्रांड वैल्यू भी है, चेन है, तो बहुत सारे फैसिलिटीज है, उसका जो असेंबली लाइन है, गारमेंट लाइन है, बहुत बढ़िया लाइन है उसके पास, एक्चुअली एंटायर लॉजिस्टिक जो चेन है उसके पास, वो किसी के पास नहीं है, उसको वैल्यू जरूर मिलेगा सब बैंकों को और रिटेल शेयर होल्डर्स को भी आगे चल के एनसीएलटी।
थैंक यू सर।
थैंक यू। We have the next question from the line of Suraj Das from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, thanks for the opportunity again. So just a couple of data keeping questions. So the capital number which you have reported around 14% CET1, does it include the dividend which you have announced, and also does it include the carried forward family pension provision? Just wanted to know that. Okay, so it does not include both. And sir, what will be the outstanding DTA number, sir, as of FY22?
It is 8,700. We have brought down the DTA from last year, which was 12,900. We brought down it to 8,700.
Okay, understood, sir. And the last question, sir, are you fully compliant on the investment fluctuation reserve according to the RBI guideline, which would be around 2%?
Yes sir.
We are fully compliant. In fact, in the last year, we become fully compliant.
Okay. And sir, the treasury loss which you have reported, does it also include the MTM hit, or is it, it does not include the MTM hit?
MTM hit.
The total includes the MTM hit also. As per the new guidelines, we have included that MTM hit also. That's why that 111 crores is shown in that figure.
And how much would be the MTM hit for this quarter, sir? If I may know.
MTM hit for this quarter is
wait for some more time, but I can say that the total both the non-SLR and SLR portfolio put together, if there is a 10 basis point increase, we are likely to see a hit of about 14 crores. So it depends upon where the yields are going to move by 30th of June.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashok Ajmera from Axon Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity again. Sir, I would like to little bit dwell upon again the credit, especially the corporate credit, and because we are talking about 10 to 12% means we are talking about something like 40,000 to 48,000 crore of growth. So my question to Mr. Dasgupta is, as you know, we had a growth in NBFC of 2,000 crore in this quarter. We had one major growth in the power distribution company, from 6,200 crore to 9,986 crore in the distribution field. So similarly, is there any identified areas and field or across the industry? Because I don't see much growth in our domestic credit industry-wide. If you see slide number 12, like infrastructure, textile, gems, jewelry, chemical. So what is exactly our plan to achieve this number of 12% growth? Of course, a part of it is in the RAM also, but is there any study has been done, any planning has been done on it, that like NBFC, so co-lending space so much, we are targeting 3,000, 5,000 crore on co-lending, or if it is a power and infra, so can you throw some light on that, sir, please?
Sir, for the corporate credit, we have a plan. So far we have planned, this year we will grow by roughly around 13,895 crore. We are expecting some good projects from the government sector also under Gati Shakti. Health and pharma we are doing. Further, coupled with that, wherever the good rated corporates are coming, there also we are lending. And NBFC, whatever you are seeing, it's actually government NBFCs or like Tata, like that. Very, very prime rated corporates are there. But as a prudent measure, we are not going to increase further our size exposure in NBFC. But and we are having some issues with the unsecured exposure also. So secured credit, whatever comes in our way, and if it's a good rated and case-to-case basis, we will examine. And for your information, so far in the first 1 month only, we are having the sanction to the tune of 5,500 crore. Plus, we are having 40,000 crore undisbursed limit with us. So we are we are hopeful that the credit pickup will be there, and there will be no difficulty in raising our book size in corporate credit by roughly around 14 to 15,000.
Oh, good, sir. Thank you for giving such great insight on it, sir. Sir, on this again, coming back to IT, digitalization end-to-end, I think we have been hearing it for a long, long time. So is there any fixed deadline? It is going on for last, I have been hearing at least for last 4, 5, 6 quarters. So,
yes, sir.
What is exactly the launching date of a particular product or a particular, activity? Like when we are talking end to end means everything. So, yes. So we are again saying 2022-23, but any idea that by what period, which month, by what, we can put some deadline on it?
Yeah, so if the launch will happen, all these projects are concurrently running, Ashokji. Okay, and added to that, what I would request tell you is, normally what happens is lead time for rollout of any initiative that is taken is 18 months to 24 months. So if you have been listening for the last 4 quarters, we have actually taken steps in terms of rolling out. Now we are ready to roll out, and the rollout will start happening mostly by June onwards. So 1, 2, 3 products will start, because most of the products are already in the closed group and under testing. So one by one, first we'll start with retail, MSME and agri, and thereafter we'll actually shift to corporate book. Similarly, for example, trade finance and supply chain, The UIT is already on. It will be rolled out in July. So like that, you know, most of this rollout will happen by September 22. That's what we have planned. And further projects are there where rollout will go up to March 23. Month on month basis, there is a plan.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. And thanks, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Hopefully, next quarter, we should meet physically, sir.
Yeah. Digital karke physical nahi meet karne ka na.
So, physical mein digital ki baat zyada achhi tarah se kar sakte hain, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Sumukha J from SKS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I have a question again regarding the future group. Sorry for that. So my question is, generally when scheme of alignment does not go ahead and you go to the NCLT, the hair fall would be more than what you would be getting through a deal, right? Or how are you going about this? Can you please explain?
There are many. See, my dear, there are many things that you'll have to actually have counterintuitive view. And what you are basically talking is intuitive. Naturally, the scheme is, deal is better than NCLT, something intuitive. In this case, we are looking at very counterintuitive things that are not visible on the face of it in these accounts. Okay, what we see is, you know, there will be better recoveries. In the deal, actually, deal was one-sided. Again, I said already the deal was one-sided, only in favor of unsecured bondholders. Whereas, you know, secured lenders and others are not given a very good deal. So, naturally, when they are pressing for it, there is a good brand value over there. There is a good logistic infrastructure over there, which come Reliance is interested in taking over, or any other, even Amazon may chip in and take over. Today, Amazon is fighting tooth and nail. Do you think there is no value in future? If there is no value in future, why Amazon is fighting so much? Just for the sake of fighting, they are spending crores of rupees in the legal cost and fighting this case tooth and nail. For what? So there is a market they need. They have to enter. So there is an intangible value that this particular group has, which will be able to realize over a period of 1 or 2 years if NCLT push for NCLT. That's what our take is on this account.
Yes, sir. So thanks a lot for the answer. It was helpful. So just following up on this, this is kind of like unprecedented, right? So like any company, any time in the future can take over assets, and this will be a base for legal cases as well, right, sir? So why not also join hands with Amazon to fight on behalf of the bank for the...
All the options are open. All the options are open to us. See, insofar as lenders are concerned, especially a lead bank like Bank of India, a Central Bank and others, our primary aim is to maximize recovery for the bank. Okay, we have taken huge exposure on this account. So naturally, all options are open to us. We may join Amazon, all options are open. All options are being evaluated. At the right point in time, right kind of option will be chosen for maximizing recovery.
So, thanks a lot, sir. So, as retail investors, we can hope for the best in the future, right, sir?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vishal Singh from Lalkar Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I want first to ask from you. Why has not any action been initiated against Mr. Kishore Biyani for just evading the lease? And you have not been disclosed about the lease being transferred.
Yeah,
no criminal proceedings against Mr. Kishore Biyani was initiated.
Now, why do you think we have not initiated action or lenders have not initiated action? Where did you get that news? Already the guarantee invoked. Okay, the action against him will be taken. He will be dragged to NCLT if necessary. Even the other types of options that no bank can take against the personal guarantor is being taken. Okay.
As a public sector bank, sir, you have the power to take action against him.
Yes, my dear. Yes, public sector banks are not so weak that we cannot take action. Vijay Mallya, we have taken so much of action, my dear. That's why we recovered almost 7,000 crores plus.
But sir, are you waiting for him to fly to London? You have to take action immediately.
We have already initiated process of issuing lookout circular against this fellow. It's already decided by the consortium. I don't think he'll fly anyway. Don't worry.
Okay. Sir, one more question I have. Why the bank rejected the deal? Why the Reliance offer bad?
We have told you.
What do you expect in NCLT proceedings?
I have replied this quite a lot of times, saying that it is one-sided. It is only favoring bondholders, and the other unsecured creditors, not secured creditors. We have been given a raw deal in the entire scheme. So we find a lot of value in that company. We find a lot of value in this brand. So naturally, you know, we want more. Dil mange more.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jay Mundra from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Sir, first...
Mr. Mundra, we are unable to hear you pretty clearly. Please go off the speakerphone.
Yeah. So, is it any better now?
It's still pretty low.
Okay. So, out of your 7,000 crore of staff costs, how much is cash salary and how much is, you know, retirement provisions, if you have that breakup?
That will share with you separately.
Okay.
We'll separately share with you. It's a very granular detail that will give you separately.
Right. So, actually, sir, what I was trying to understand is... If
you want in terms of proportion, it is almost 70-30 proportion. So you want to understand in terms of proportion. 60-70.
Right, sir. So... Okay, so if, sir, hypothetically, if the yields were to go up by 100 basis points over the next 1 year, this 30%, which is roughly 2,000 crores of provision, employee provision, can there be any positive impact there because of the rising yield and hence the retirement provisions liability may be lower?
I don't think there is any correlation between yield and the retirement of provision. See, in our case, retirement provisions are all defined benefit schemes. Okay, and added to that, you know, there are all statutorily prescribed amounts.
Right.
And insofar as that particular trust is concerned, yield on trust is completely different question. It is not part of our balance sheet at all.
Right. So that trust is independent, right?
Yeah.
Maybe LIC, right?
Not LIC, we have our own trust. We have our own trust.
Right.
Trust has its own treasury, it makes its investments.
Right. So you're saying if the retirement provisions that you will make is not impacted by yield movement, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, understood. And sir, out of your 50,000 staff, how much roughly would be on defined benefit and defined contribution?
Around 10,000 as of now, existing staff are in the defined benefit scheme. All others are in the
defined contribution. Yeah.
Could you hear that, Jay?
No. So 10,000 is on what defined benefit, right?
Yeah. 10,000 under the full pension scheme and remaining 41,000, they are under new pension scheme. They are under contribution pension.
Right. And so anyway, you have large proportion have already moved to defined contribution. So that way it may not matter too much on the yield side. Is that right understanding?
I mean, I think Edisha has already told that it is a separate trust and that trust has its own balance sheet. So any yield movement in that doesn't impact our balance sheet, right? Okay, but sir, is there any, because of yield movement, if there is any change in the planned liability or value of your planned assets, you have to make the shortfall good, right? So to that extent it should matter. Jay, it is like this. Now the point in so far as the provision we are shifting just be nevertheless made. It has nothing to do with your yields. Whether yields rise, yields down, it is not going to have any impact in terms of my AS 15 provision. Of course, if yields rise, my income is more than the ability to make provision is better. So that is the only advantage I have.
Yeah, Monica, would like to add?
I think you are correct. The actuarial calculations which happen, that happened on the 10-year yield last
date.
So maybe a positive impact will come if the yields are higher out of that.
And they not have to provide, that's why.
Yeah, the shortfall will be
less.
Because the ability for the project to grow the income of the trust would be considered at a higher level.
Right. Okay, anyway. Okay, madam. So that helps. Secondly, sir, in your opening remarks, you mentioned NIMs as 3%, right? And if I see your last 10 years, you know, the bank has not done 3% NIM even on quarterly basis. So why, I mean, what do you think is changing for the bank so that it can do 3% NIMs? Is it like too optimistic, or you think there are clear drivers for NIM expansion? I mean, the reported NIMs in the last 10 years have not been 3%.
10 years probably in the current context is too long a period to do any comparison. I was only saying that 86% of my loan books are in the domestic arena, wherein the NIM is already 2.90 last quarter.
Right.
Okay. It was made possible mainly because of good traction in credit growth, especially high-yielding credit growth. So our objective is to go as close as possible to the 3% mark. It's the international book which has shown lesser margin. We will try to make good that. But having reached 2.90 for Q4, there is every reason to be optimistic about that.
Not only that,
I think on domestic you can do. I was thinking that you have given for the full year, full bank. So that may be the disconnect.
Yeah.
Understood. And secondly, sir, on your credit...
So we request you kindly come follow-up questions back in the queue, sir.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Prabal Gandhi from Antique Stock Broking.
It's an expensive question, I guess.
Hello?
Yes. Mr. Gandhi, you may go ahead with your question.
Yes. Good evening, sir.
Mr. Gandhi, please come off the speakerphone. We are not able to hear you.
Is it better now?
It's still a bit low.
Is it better now?
Anyway, you can let him continue. Let him continue. We will see whether we can make out or not.
Sir, good evening, sir. So my question is on the overseas loan. So this quarter and the last few quarters as well, we have seen a healthy momentum in the overseas book. Just want to understand how much of this could be because of the INR depreciation, if you could give a breakup on that, sir.
In this context, I would like to say that technically we have gone for the term loan. That's why the growth is there. As well as we have gone for the trade finance portfolio. Our trade finance portfolio has increased by almost 1 billion. And simultaneously, we have gone for the term loan exposure, primarily on the primary syndication and the secondary market loan book. So that has increased our book. And we hope to continue in the next this financial year or so.
He asked how much of this incremental growth is because of INR. It will be, I think, an insignificant portion.
Sorry, sir?
It will be an insignificant number, I believe. INR variation related loan growth.
Coming to the ROA front, what could be the typical ROAs that we would be making on the overseas book?
ROA, margin is 0.88 हमारा है अभी ROA
margin is
0.8. It's average 0.80.
ROA is 0.8.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to AK Das, MD and CEO, for closing comments.
Yeah, I would take this opportunity to thank all the participants in this conference, all my ED colleagues and our key vertical heads who are present here who responded to various questions, and we hope we have been able to satisfactorily respond to the questions. Few of the questions I think once we receive the mail, we will respond to that. And this financial year, the last financial year has been a good financial year for us. We intend to continue in the same way during the current financial year, and we look forward to your continued support and guidance. All right. Thank you very much once again, and goodbye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Bank of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.